Welcome along. La Liga is back. It's a Tuesday night recording. What is the world coming to? I had to sell 50% of Terry's future contract to ITV to get him registered for the season. You can watch Barcelona's match with La Real next Sunday, free to air in the UK with the best co-commentator in the business. They've chosen that game, presumably based on the thrilling encounter Barca served up on Saturday. Barcelona 0, Rayo Vallecano 0. 81,000 very satisfied purists went home thinking, well, we might have sacrificed our future financial stability, but at least we got to watch Eric Garcia and Andreas Christensen playing as centre-backs. What the situation calls for is Bernardo Silva, who can then sit alongside Jules Koundé in the stand and watch the next game. Yes, La Liga's harsh FFP protocol has succeeded in bringing stability and order to the Spanish top flight. You know, previously, clubs have been taking risky decisions with their future finances to get players into their squads. Thankfully, that is a thing of the past. Stars of the weekend were Alex Baena, Juanmi and Alvaro Morata, who all scored twice as Villarreal, Betis and Atleti started with 3-0 wins. I enjoyed Atleti's performance, but I did feel sick afterwards. We'll examine why later. David Alaba rescued the Spanish and European champions Real Madrid at Almeria, spectacularly scoring with his first touch of the season. Celta Vigo's new stand is taking shape yards away from their existing empty seats. Oscar Minguesa made a spectacular debut on in the 91st minute, conceded a penalty in the 92nd minute from which Espanyol scored their equaliser. Ernesto Valverde was back at Athletic and named a thrilling attacking lineup. Yeah, 0-0. Thank you for all of your predictions. I've been down the bookies already, and no, everybody, you can't downgrade Sevilla. It's finished. We'll have a look at those in a minute. Some good things, some bad things about this weekend. We'll have a look at it. Terry, the Patreons will know. Patreon.com/LTEL. Welcome to our new Patreons. Thank you for joining us. The Patreons will see that we have come dressed as Spanish football managers this week. You'll notice.
Yeah, yes.
Like, the black T-shirt. There we go.
In that heat as well. I'm always advised that you can't wear black. But you can't wear black. It's boiling hot. And I'm looking at it this week thinking, they've all got black on. Simeone, even they went for the whole suit again.
Yeah. Almost every single, even Pellegrini was there, wasn't he, in his black T-shirt. Yeah. I think you're a bit, yeah, a bit old for that. But anyway, Sartori, it takes all the pressure out, doesn't it, to black T-shirt and away you go. Right, so how was your, so you've been at La Liga's press conference in London today, haven't you? So you, Albert Ferrer, Gary Lineker, kids. He used to play football. Gary Lineker, you know, back in the day, and Guillaume. So how was that? Was a lot of interest in the UK?
There was, yes. It was basically to tell people the Premier Sports involvement, and to let people know where and how they can watch it, and just basically big up the league, which I hoped we all did. And Albert, Gary Lineker, good company. Guillaume was like a host. Guillaume did a session where he asked us questions and hot topics and stuff like that, and players to watch out for. I chose Take Kubo, Brais Mendes and Jose Luis Morales, something different for people to look at. We didn't want to go down the Barcelona, Real Madrid and the superstar route. So just interesting signings. And I went from young to middle age group to someone who was 27 before he played in the top flight, and at the age of 35 has got and move to VRL. So it's that type of thing. And hopefully we got across that there is, you know, as well as watching the big teams and the big players, there's other, you know, bits and bobs to follow in La Liga. So it was a good day, actually. It was good fun, good company, good people to be around, and it was a good day.
And not just journos trying to get a line out of Gary Lineker about Man United.
Mostly it was, yeah. We were, Gary was asked in particular, not Albert, Gary, who played for Barcelona 30 years ago, asking questions about Barcelona's situation now, basically. And Frankie de Jong, of course. A few questions on that. But, you know, it was, I got the feeling that Colin Miller was there, who's been on our podcast. He was there. And I got the feeling that the people there knew their stuff about Spanish football. So it was a good day.
Excellent. And good news as well. Now, we have had our moans about the TV situation over the years. ITV, Terry, have got 10 games signed up So for people around the world, that means basically, I mean, it's ITV4, so it's not the main channel where 20 million people are watching Coronation Street or wherever it may be, but it's free. Crucially, you can just put your telly on and watch it. There's no subscription to be made. So there we are. And I will say they've chosen very well with their co-commentator Terry. So it's a good opportunity, isn't it? We just need it to have a wide audience, don't we, the Spanish football?
Yeah, and people need to find out where it is. And this is a collaboration with Premier Sports. Premier Sports are hoping that we're being free to air that, and there's a possibility of games being on the ITV channel rather than the ITV4 channel. This game's great, 9 o'clock, Sunday kickoff. It probably is always the favoured time slot for the casual viewer when all the rest of the football's finished. And all of a sudden, you can transfer yourself off to somewhere sunny and watch a game that kicks off at 9 o'clock at night and finishes 11 before people are off to bed. So it's well such that Barcelona should be a good viewing. And I think Premier Sports obviously hope that people will get into it that way. And then think of seriously, you know, consider taking up the Premier Sports subscription to watch it on a regular basis. So, you know, I think 10 games to start with, possibility of more. And as I say, the possibility of them getting some big games as well and being on the main channel.
Yeah, and don't forget, everyone, we need your support as well. Patreon.com/LTEL to get us through the season. So all of these people are going to be tuning in next week. What are they going to be seeing? Where I don't know where to start. Shall we? Because obviously the big two dominate the headlines, but there were some terrific performances by some of the bubbling under teams, the European group, as I would call it. So did well. So, you know, Atletico are title contenders, aren't they? So let's start with them. Morata, who I'm never convinced isn't an accidental signing for Atletico.
Anybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anybody.
Yeah. Just pitches up somewhere at the start of every season with his boots.
Yeah.
But, He's a quality player, isn't he, Alvaro Morata? If he plays with confidence, he's got everything, hasn't he? And he bagged two goals against Getafe. Griezmann got another one. João Felix was creative. Oblak didn't make a single save. So lots of things went pretty well at the start of the season for Atleti.
Yeah, it was an interesting lineup, João Felix and Morata. All summer, we've been expecting Morata to be sold or put out on loan. And I noticed the difference to his game. I haven't watched him play, other than playing for Spain or in the Champions League and stuff like that for Juventus. But I noticed the difference. And I've been told that this has been in the making, where he's become more aggressive. So he was up against the three central defenders. I always criticised him because I don't think he shows his strength. He's a big, strong
fella, isn't he? Yeah.
And last night, he was knocking over Gené and Domingos Duarte. He was holding the ball up well. His two goals, he took really well. And I've got to be honest, based on last night, he looked the real deal and gave them something different to what they had last season with Luis Suarez. He was closing down, he was working hard, he was running the channels, and so he should. He has always had that potential, and finally, I see that aggressive side to his game. I'm not asking him to be Diego Costa, but something along those lines, because he can look after himself. And he did that really well last night, and his link up with João Felix in particular was really impressive. João Felix made all three goals. So it was, you know, fine for Atletico. Defensively, Witzel played in one of the three centre-back positions, which is a surprise. Jimenez has got tonsillitis. Felipe was missing. I think he was injured. So we'll see whether that's a long-term plan. Witzel didn't seem too particularly keen on being that. He still said, I'm a midfield player, but I'll play there if needed. Saul made his return back to Atletico as well. Another player that's been out on loan. And funny enough, didn't want to play left back, but after his experience at Chelsea, more than happy to be the left wing back. Expense of Lodi, at the expense of Carrasco. I have to say that the only chances Getafe created, there was three really good chances, all came from that side of the pitch. So that's something they're going to have to look at. Reinildo can play there as well. Hermoso can play there. But Sal was happy to play there. And in possession, he was good. But just if you look at anything, all the crosses that came that should have. Atletico was slightly fortunate, got the clean sheet. Oblak didn't have to make a save, but Myra was off target with one, I think. And Izuna was off target with another one. They had two or three really good opportunities that they failed to hit the target with. So if you're being picky, you could say that maybe the defence could be a little tighter. But they were solid in midfield. Lamar, Koke, Llorente. And then when they made the substitutions, I mean, they didn't start, speak about Real Madrid later, changing things up. Atletico went with what I believe, the first game of the season, to be Simeone, what he believes, the strongest 11. And yet, that one time, they brought on three players at the same time, Griezmann, Depaul and Carrasco, and then brought Correa and Cunha on. And you're looking at those five players coming off the bench, and you're thinking, you know, they have to be contenders for the title. We have to include them in with the other two. They have to be. They won it just a season ago, defended it poorly, obvious errors, conceded too many goals, blah, blah, blah. If they sorted that out this year, then you look at that, and Molina looked a decent right back. They've been looking for a replacement for Trippier, and he looked as if he was going to be capable of fulfilling that role. So, it was an excellent night's work. I know what you mean. I understand. I actually like the kit. I think that's what you're alluding to earlier.
Yeah, honestly. Your eyes go funny, don't they? Because the stripes aren't straight. And then the stripes, they go a different way on the shoulder again, don't they? Yeah.
Confusion. That's Brad Taffé. They didn't play well.
We thought
we were going to get something promising from Taffé. It's only the first game, but they're up against really good opponents who played really well, and you know, Taffé could have defended better. But you know, João Félix has got an eye for a pass. Griezmann looked sharp when he came on, and Morata looked the real deal up front. So an excellent night's work and another emphatic win against Taffé. I think he scored once against him since Simeone's been there or something ridiculous. So a comfortable win in the end, but a good win for Atletico.
One more question on Atleti. Cunha to Manchester United, I've seen mooted. It's a better move than Arnautovic. I think I see something in it because it makes sense all round, in that Manchester United, I'll whisper this, everybody, they can't sign the top grade of player anymore, can they? But he's a good player, Cunha, and he's at a club where he probably won't play. He didn't play enough last season, and he probably won't play enough this season. So it's probably not a bad thing to go somewhere that he's still a massive club with a massive profile. He would bring something, wouldn't it? Obviously, it being Manchester United, the deal will happen sometime about 3 years from now. That seems their usual efficiency in the transfer market. But it sort of makes sense. Is that fair?
Yeah, and it's a surprising one, isn't it? You know, it come out of nowhere. Whether it happens or not remains to be seen. But I would imagine, I think Atleti's still got some financial issues to sort out. They paid 21 million for him. He hasn't blown everyone away in terms of how good he's been, but he's been okay. They're looking at possibly selling for between 40 and 50 million. So a good profit for Atletico. I'm sure they would take it. Yeah. That still leaves them with, you know, Griezmann, Correa, Morata, João Félix. That's not too bad at all.
Don't really need him, is the truth of it, isn't it? You know, he's probably more valuable to Man United. So that, therefore, it's a good transfer, isn't it?
He's only 23.
Yeah.
I think for that money, you'd like to be hoping that he would have scored more goals in the past, but his career needs to settle down. If he leaves Atleti, he's only been there a short period of time, like his other clubs. So at the age of 23, there is. But I was saying the same about Diego Costa when he was on loan at Rio, thinking if a Premier League club take a chance on him, he could, you know, could be a real, you know, good potential there. And then he went back to Atletico and with Simeone and the rest is history. So sometimes you have to search around and come up with something different and look at the potential. But difficult for United, and this is La Liga podcast, difficult for United at the moment because potential isn't what they need, is it? They need now to try and retrieve the situation.
Sort of, but what they don't need is Jamie Vardy and Arnautovic and you know, paying however much they paid for 37-year-old Ronaldo. The signings do need to be to have some kind of future, don't they? That's the thing, isn't it? And as you say, you know, a slightly unfulfilled talent at 23. I think I'd rather that than Vardy, who's been a terrific player for a long time. But who's to say he's not? We don't know he's not finished. He could be on a sharp decline, Jamie Vardy, at his age. That's the anyway, like you said, we'll come back to Manchester United later because they've got money and the league of clubs haven't. Where should we go? Let's do Betis versus Elche. So I mean, this was pretty comfortable. I mean, certainly a relatively early red card for Elche helped. But it is, not everyone will agree, I think it is lovely to see the full stadium, Betis playing well, start of the season. You know, so many people want Betis to do well, and it was, a terrific start for them.
That was really fun to watch. They looked like they were having fun playing. 50,000 in the stadium, first game of the season. I didn't realise, I must admit, that they'd had some issues during the summer. They've got players they can't register as well. A lengthy injury list. And Mark Bartra was sold, I think, against the wishes of Pellegrini. So it was a slim bench, just Lauren Moron on the bench. He was the only attacking player, really. But they were really good. They were helped by obliging opponents, I have to say. Expect better from Elche this season. The early red card went against them, but Enzo Rocco
doesn't know how big the pitch
is. Pretty solid. and he was better to blame for the next goal as well. The second goal, which was scored by Wanmi. If people haven't seen it, it's a hoofed clearance from Moreno down the left flank. A little bit of pressure from Elche, and he just clears it. And it bounces down the touchline, doesn't it? As if it's going to go out for the throw. And Rocco goes across, and he's over the top of it. There's a million things he could have done. The only thing he shouldn't have done, he did. And he's just jogging alongside it, letting it roll out. And Fekir thinks, that might not go out. And he overtakes him and strips him and gets away and slots it across for Iglesias to score. And then the next goal, he should have... It was a bobbling ball in the penalty area, and he had an opportunity to just hack the ball away, but he tried to lift it away from Wanmi. I don't know if he was going back to the goalkeeper or away from goal, and he made a mess of that, and Wanmi got the second. Having been down to 10 men in the 16th minute to make those two mistakes before half-time gave them a no chance. So it was Roger Marti playing up front entirely on his own, and Betis were just enjoying it. I thought they actually were going to get the next goal to make them top. Mm. They should have done, actually. They had loads of chances in the second half, but no Canales, he was injured, no Joaquin, number of players missing, but the players that they had were still good. It was really a good watch in terms of watching an attractive game of football.
And so the other 3-0 winners are the joint leaders in the table, as we say. Villarreal won 3-0 away to Valladolid. Their XG was only 1.4, though. Alex Baena got a couple, and Nick Jackson, the Senegalese striker, got one. What's our verdict? I think Valladolid, let me check. Well, I'll do the predictions in a bit, but Valladolid, the bottom of the predictions.
They weren't bad in this game. I mean, they had to rely on Asenjo, played really well against his former team. Half-time 0-0, but once the first goal went in, and Baena came on as a sub. And he made all the difference. He was a player that was on loan at Girona last season. And he looks like he's going to play a bigger part this year. And they do need some younger legs in midfield. He's an attacking midfield player. So he made a difference when he came on. And Nicholas Jackson took his goal well, slotted it in at the far post. So it was a good, solid performance from Villarreal. And I think they're going to add to their squad. And I think they've got every right to, for their expectations, to be top four.
Yeah.
And you look at the players they've got, the manager they've got, get off to a good start. I think it's unusual for Unai Emery and for Villarreal to win the first game of the season. Mm-hmm. But this was a good, solid win. But it probably wasn't a 3-0, but they run away with it in the end. As I say, Baena come on and scored in the 81st and 90th minute. So it was tight up until then. So good win for Villarreal. Good start.
Right. Okay, first game of the season, Real Madrid or Barcelona, heads or tails, Terry, who are we going to do first?
Barcelona.
Okay, right, Barcelona. So,
Barcelona more to get stuck into.
Yes. Barcelona 0, the Rayo Vallecano 0. 81,104 people were there. It's a bit ragged, I think, wasn't it? Was that fair to say?
Goodness,
I mean, not for Rayo, because Rayo are well, they beat Barcelona twice last season, didn't they? So, you know, Rayo.
Three games without conceding.
Yeah, yeah. So they know what they're doing. As we say often about La Liga, the clubs that people used to disparage know what they're doing. They're not mugs. So, Barcelona, I don't know what Barcelona look like. I don't know what Xavi's Barcelona looks like, which I think is unsurprising given that this set of players, we didn't know who was playing, we didn't know who could play. Until relatively short time before the game, and couldn't play.
And it looked like that, didn't it? Mm. It was Raúl at right back. That doesn't work. Then you're looking at who's going to be the centre backs. So it was Garcia and Christensen, as you said. Jordi Alba didn't push forward enough on the left flank. The wingers stay really wide, which is something I think Xavi wants, but it prohibits the wing, the fullback pushing on. So Jordi Alba was looking to get forward, but it was blocked up. Now, is he going to make those runs inside, which is difficult for Jordi Alba to suddenly change and do? And Araujo just didn't look comfortable right back. Sergio Roberto then came in at right back, and he hasn't got the pace to be a classic fullback for Barcelona. So there was little things that Lewandowski didn't get enough service. I think Xavi took too long to make a change. I think Raya was solid. They had a couple of really good chances as well. Busquets had been booked, and I sensed the possibility of him picking up another yellow card, which happened. But I thought personally, I would have made that the young Busquets change a lot earlier, because it wasn't as if the fullbacks are not pushing on, then you pretty much got back four in place most of the time. And you don't need Busquets sitting in front against a team that are defending deep, defending in numbers. So Frankie de Jong possibly should have come on earlier for Busquets. I'm noticing a theme throughout again with managers relying on the same players. Koke is another one at Atletico. He was the only player I thought looked below par. He was the only player that was giving the ball away. And then when you look at the quality on the bench, you're wondering Simeone is so attached to Koke, he's the leader, the talisman. And I'm wondering the same with Busquets, former teammate of the manager. He's a brilliant player. He's defined a whole new role in football. But there is a time where you're thinking, do we need that holding midfield player against a team that we're going to dominate in terms of possession and we're struggling to break down? There was a time where Busquets could find those passes higher up the pitch, wasn't there? But we don't see that very often now. He does sit deep. And I just thought that was something he could have done. I thought he could have made a change earlier in the right back position. So, but we, I think in fairness, as we made the point in the last podcast, Thursday, Friday, Xavi didn't know who was going to be available. I'm sure behind the scenes they would make a reassuring him that everything was going to be okay. But Friday morning to Saturday night playing, they've got to get more service to Lewandowski, that's for sure. So it was a disappointing, disjointed performance from Barcelona, and I thought the manager could have played more of a part in terms of changing it up during the match. So I'm sure there's better ahead.
So I've got another couple of questions to ask you then. So Busquets obviously can't play next weekend. I read that Pjanic is going to play. Why not just play Frankie de Jong? Are they so desperate to get rid of him that they're messing him up?
It can only be that, can't it? It can only be that. I mean, everyone's talking about De Jong being a replacement for Busquets when he came. I think it's a different type of player there, but he could do that role against Real Sociedad. Pjanic, I don't see Pjanic as a Busquets type player. But it's you know, and Busquets is probably going to be needed more in this game than he was against Rayo. So therefore, I'm not saying that Busquets should be discarded, and you know, I just think it's horses for courses, and particularly if the fullbacks are not pushing on as much. It's different when it was Dani Alves and Jordi Alba, and you know, people like that. And then Busquets almost become the third centre back, then he dropping in and giving him protection in front. But Araujo can't push on in the same way that Dani Alves did. You know, and they're still trying to replace Dani Alves from the first time he left. I mean, Nelson Semedo, you know, Sergiño Dest and Sergi Roberto, now Araujo. I wonder if Koundé is going to be there.
But he doesn't want to play there. But they haven't registered
No.
Dest, have they, either? And that's a choice, I think, isn't it? I think that would seem that that's it for.
Yeah, I think there's
Well,
people interested in Dest. Sorry,
that's not it, is it? They're, you know, they never, they can't sell a player, Barcelona, can they? So, I'm not saying he won't be back at some point. So, other Gavi, is this wrong? Gavi had 25 touches of the ball, so therefore De Jong had more touches in the half hour that he played than Gavi in an hour. So what happened there?
I think just it was just a slow performance from Barcelona. It's slow in terms of moving the ball about, which if you get playing against a well-coached team as Rayo are, and you take your time getting the ball in possession and getting into the attacking half of the pitch, players are back behind the ball. It might tell us the distribution from the back from Garcia and Christensen into midfield isn't what it should be. So, you know, when the fullbacks push up, it does mean that the opposing team have to defend wider as well. And then there's more space in midfield. But that's something they're going to have to you know, sort out. I'm pretty sure, because you want Gavi and Pedri on the ball as much as you possibly can.
Yeah, so Lewandowski then. So the whole let's say the Bundesliga is rubbish because you know he's been in Spain one game and he hasn't scored. Having said that, what's his name? Paciencia scored, didn't he? For Celta Vigo. So there we are. There's a Bundesliga. It's easy this lad Liga. You know, it's really hard to score in the Bundesliga. So what would Lewandowski have been thinking walking off the pitch? What are they?
He made a joke, didn't he? But this is what he thought he was going to be. They had loads of bodies back behind the ball and someone marked me, he said. Unlike when he's playing for Bayern Munich. So it's tongue-in-cheek. But, you know, it would have been something different. I'm sure teams defended deep against Bayern and had lots of bodies back behind the ball. For me, it tells me that I don't think he received anywhere near enough the service that he requires. The very few crosses came into the box. It will get better. He is undoubtedly one of the best strikers in Europe for the last decade.
Yeah,
wherever you are, good you are, isn't a Messi, Ronaldo from 10 years ago. He's not going to create chances for himself. He gets on the end of things. At Bayern, he's been blessed with dominating that league, getting lots of service and getting 40, 50 goals a year. But it's important, therefore, that Barcelona get the best out of him. Don't expect him to change. He's too long in the tooth for that. So they've got to get Dembele, Rafinha, Fati, Ferran Torres, whoever it is, trying to get an understanding with him as soon as possible. And the midfield guys as well.
Yeah. Right, Real Madrid then. So credit to Almeria, Terry. I thought they played well. I thought they were very early on. I thought they took the game to Real Madrid a bit. And understandably, you know, you're playing the European champions. It's understandable. They went in front in the fifth minute, and their former Charlton youngster Ramazani
and Man United.
Yes,
yeah. Is there ever mention in Man United in this podcast?
Oh yeah, that's it. Yeah,
I'd actually commentated on him for Man United on 23s on a few occasions. No, always looked bright, lively. Pujmal was another one who came off the bench, another ex-Man United youngster. So there's obviously a connection between the clubs there.
Yeah.
And Almeria, but they were terrific early on. They were terrific for the first half.
Yeah, and it's understandable, isn't it,
that you
go back and back a bit, don't you? But you always had the impression, well, I did, I thought Real Madrid will win this game somehow, somewhere. Didn't necessarily expect it to be Alaba coming off the bench with his first touch, but they job done, isn't it, for Ancelotti's side?
Yep, and it's interesting. He said he was going to rotate. He did in the first game of the season. And when you look at the reasons behind it, I think Benzema looked a bit rusty in the first half because Real Madrid still looked a better team. One or two chances he had last season he would have took, so he's getting his game back together again. But when you look at the team Real Madrid play and you look at why Ancelotti is going to do it, they've signed Camavinga last season. Tchouaméni is now there. Fede Valverde is there. You've got Vinicius, you've got Rodrigo. We've got World Cup year. No one knows what it's going to be like when those players return back to the World Cup. That's the biggest mystery. We were talking about that today in our press conference. It's hard to predict who's going to win stuff because we don't know. Can you imagine winning the World Cup and the euphoria that comes with that? And then a week later playing in a domestic game. Can you imagine if you get beat in the World Cup final and a week later coming back? Can you imagine Modric if Croatia go deep into the competition and a week later coming back and playing for Real Madrid, knowing they've got another... I think it's week 14, the La Liga breaks. So you've got another 24 games in the league to go before you finish your season after a World Cup. So I think Ancelotti, by deciding to, he's got to, hope he sticks with it. It needed the big hitters to come on. You look at the players that come on, Alaba, Modric, Hazard, Casemiro, Ceballos. But it really is important this year. It's going to be a squad game. The only one they've got replacement for is Benzema. But Hazard looks like he's going to be fulfilling that role. Old Mariano Diaz is there, but they're reluctant to use him now that he's told them that he wants to stay. He's going to see his contract out and leave on a free. That's probably gone down well with Real Madrid. So it is wise. They're going to be playing. Modric could play 60 games this year for club and country. We've got an international break in September, a World Cup in November, December, and the Champions League on top of that, the domestic leagues on top of that. So is Ancelotti, it's not a surprise to me that he's being wise, being smart, and you know, thinking about how he's going to manage a season, which no manager has had to do before, this break in the middle. I mean, we have it for the African Nations Cup and some players go missing, but there's going to be nobody left at some of these clubs. And there'd be players coming back at various times, players coming back with injuries, with mental disappointment, mental elation. It's going to be really interesting. So for him to do this, I hope it's not a one-off and he loses his nerve because they were losing and that's come from behind. Trust those players and you know, see how it all works itself out over the course of the whole season.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Trust Eden Hazard and get him on the pitch a bit more. I thought he looked all right, didn't he? Well, he wasn't the decisive factor in the game, but
I thought he looked sharp. Yeah. He got on the ball. He was trying to make things happen. He was wanting to take people on. His runs off the ball were good. I thought he looked sharp.
Yeah,
I thought.
Yeah.
So, hopefully, he does.
Contrast with Sevilla. So you know what? I'm going to put up the predictions, Terry, because. That is what we've done. So what we've done is basically everyone has, not everyone, but 30-odd people sent us their predictions. That's enough for it that's enough for it to be good. And what we have done, hang on, where are we? Hang on, that's my, hang on, wait there. Sorry, bear with me, everyone. Hang on. I am, right, anyway. Basically, so what people have done is send us their predictions for the season. Sorry, I'm just saving the intro. That's why I went to do it. I brought up the intro, which you don't want to see in written form, having already heard. Right. So right, there we are. So top of the league is Real Madrid. So basically what I do is show everyone just sends us their 1 to 20. I compile them into a table. I put a couple of random black lines in it. I don't know what I'm doing.
Last seasons.
The predictions last season were remarkably accurate, but then not a lot changed in the La Liga season in the table from one season to the next. So, as you can see for the Patreons, and as I'll tell everybody else, Real Madrid, top, but it was narrow. Loads of people have faith in Barcelona this season. Mm. So, and then Atleti, you know, the average was 2.9, which tells you just how many people said they were finished third, which is the vast majority of people. And then it's another group. So the same European group as I'd call them, Sevilla, Betis, Villarreal, Real Sociedad, in that order. And so far out of that lot.
I think Athletic Club just clinging on to that today. The European group.
They straddle that top eight. And the mid-table group, don't they, Athletic? We'll see. And then the mid-table group is definitely Celta Vigo, Getafe, Osasuna, Valencia, Espanyol, Rayo, then probably straddle that mid-table into the relegation group because they did well last season, you know. Yeah. And then, so this was then a shake-up. So there's a tiny gap between Girona, who come up 15th, and Valladolid, who are bottom. So Girona, Cadiz, Almeria, Mallorca, Elche, Valladolid. People can't really decide between them, understandably. Yeah. But that's the order in which it comes. So when you look at that, is anyone... I'm saying no one is in a horribly wrong position. I think these...
No, I agree.
If it ends up like this, you wouldn't be shocked at all, would you?
No, I agree. Yep. What I would say after the first week, I know it's early, premature probably, but looking at Atletico and looking at what Barcelona have done, I think we're going to have a title race, a proper one this year with three teams.
Three-way, yeah.
Yeah, I think that you look at the Atletico's performance and you're thinking, yeah, they can. A year ago, they won it. Failed miserably last season, but you saw the quality on view last night against Getafe, who are going to be hard to beat. I think Atletico showed they can be, and of course, we expect Barcelona with their signings to be in there as well. So I think the top three is going to be hard to predict, but the league in general does look familiar there, doesn't it?
Yeah. So, of the teams at the top, so Real Madrid won, Barcelona got a draw, Atleti won, Sevilla, really, of the teams at the top, the only one who really got a disappointing result. I mean, Barca's result was disappointing for them, from their point of view. In fact, hang on, so of the predicted teams, the only losers in there were Sevilla, weren't they, of the top nine, as predicted. So they lost at Osasuna and Jimmy Avila, first goal of the season. And then Rafa Mir got a rapid equaliser. I thought a bit of a soft penalty was decisive in the end.
We've got to talk about this. this new directive, they're not going to give any soft penalties. Well, what is that?
First game of the season,
But what even is that interpretation?
Yeah.
So how far can you go now before it's not a soft penalty? It's either a foul or it's not. There's no soft foul. It's hard. I didn't get that one. But this was a soft penalty.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I still, when I was watching, I wasn't sure if it was for handball or foul.
It's for the shove, isn't it, I think?
Yeah.
For the shove, as it was.
Hand towards the face of Moncloa as Papu Gomez was trying to fight for the loose ball and penalty box. It was soft. There wasn't a lot between the two teams. I actually think Osasuna are going to be good, but still mid-table.
Yeah.
And I think this will be a tough game. Their home form needed to improve. They've got off to a good start. Strange set of circumstances where you let a 20-year-old who's making his debut take a penalty with 15 minutes to go. And it weren't a good penalty either, was it? It went straight down the middle. And if Bono End have dived so significantly, I think he probably should have saved it. But it was just a weird. I'm not sure what Arasati, the manager, was thinking when Aymar Oroz was designated by Chimi Avila to take the penalty. But he slotted it home, and they did a narrow win. It was a narrow win. But Sevilla will take criticism. Lopetegui would take criticism. They didn't play particularly well, but it Osasuna, tough place they're more than decent, Osasuna, now.
So the average match length in La Liga this weekend was 99 minutes and 22 seconds, which was the longest of the big European leagues. However, only 52 minutes and 31 seconds was the average of ball in play or ball usefully in play time, which was the lowest. Now, they're all very similar, I must say, the ball in play times, but they're right to address it, aren't they? I'm not sure, though. I think you've got to have, people say in organisations, cultural change. Otherwise, the referees won't do it. If the referees don't think there's anything wrong with taking ages over a throwing, then they will forget to enforce it, I think, won't they?
Yeah.
And they won't hurry people up. I mean, and the VAR takes too long. The Espanyol penalty, it was a good 4 minutes or something for that to come about. I'm not sure what happens to that time. Never actually figured that out.
And we've got drinks breaks this weekend, and we're going to have for the next month.
Yeah.
And we possibly have 10 substitutions in the game.
Yeah.
So it is something. And the Premier League are just waking up, and people in England are just waking up to it because of the five substitutes, then people are going to realise how long that can take.
Yeah.
You can kill a game of football by putting on, three different opportunities to make those subs.
Yeah.
It can take time off the clock. So, I think the cost of tickets that now is expensive, and I think people should get value. And if that means making teams play games that are over 100 minutes long to get sufficient playing time in, then so be it. But the referees have a right part to play by.
Speed them up. Because rather than, in order to get that 90 minutes of playing time that the punters have played for and the watching on telly have paid for, I don't want to be there until 2 in the morning. I want the referees to tell them to hurry up and to get on with it. And if it means booking goalkeepers, and if it means just, I think it largely is down to the referee to institute the change, I think, isn't it? And so
definitely. They need to be given the power by the authorities to say goal kicks, this is how long it should take. Throw-ins should only take this amount of time. Free kicks as well, when you see a free kick around the edge of the box.
Yeah.
It takes about 5 minutes sometimes.
The most overrated bit of football, the free kick, the attacking free kick, because as a commentator, it's a nightmare. Because you've got to give it the big, and they take about 2 or 3 minutes. So everyone's milling around the wall. The goalkeeper's not ready. The referee, and then half the time they just chip it behind or into the wall anyway. And you think, okay, that was just,
that's the one where it's a real stop part of the game set piece.
Yeah. Yeah,
the referee has to get the can of spray out. The wall has to be set up.
Yeah,
there's a discussion between the teams taking it.
Corners take too long as well.
Yes.
That's forever. Oh, like some guy ambling up from the back. Okay, when you're ready, mate. It's just like we're all standing there waiting for you to come forward. Yeah.
I've always wondered, I never got it, never did it when I was coaching. I've wondered about it since. A quick corner.
Yeah, me. No, I
think everyone running into the box quickly.
Just get so good mind. You're sprinting to the box. Yeah, puts the ball down, crosses it before they're ready.
Yeah.
Why? Yeah. Yeah, they do. They all wait for the defenders to mark them.
And everyone gets set up and everyone's got a man to mark and everyone gets set. Then they take the corner. I just wondered, the nearest player where the ball goes off,
put it down,
ping it into the box with five or six players sprinting in towards the penalty and no one's going to be marked.
Yeah.
Any managers are listening, coaches, or any of these free kick specialists that pay the big money, I want copyright on that one.
Did you see the one where the guy, I don't even know which game it was, it's all over his social media, where the guys are doing the sort of ring and ring and roses, that all sort of holding hands, dance around. I'll send it to you. Someone will know where it's from. I'll have a look. It's the weirdest thing. And then the guy clips the ball into the goalkeeper's hands. It's quite a funny free kick. So what time wasting we've done. Going off on tangents. So Cadiz 0, Real Sociedad 1. So good win for La Real. And Takekubo took his goal really well, didn't he? Yeah.
Yes, he did. And linked up really well. It was a good attacking lineup from Real Sociedad. They played like a diamond with him at the top of it behind Isak. No, they should be good. Another 1-0 win, though, for Real Sociedad.
Yeah.
This time away from home, but they should have won by more. Mohamed Ali Cho looked bright and lively. He should have had two goals when he came off the bench. So Real Sociedad playing Barcelona this week. Another clean sheet for Alcacil's team. And they look sharp, looked in good form. It should have been more than the 1-0 victory. So Cadiz was slightly below par and Real Sociedad should have won that game more comfortably. Takekubo, 4 million, 21-year-old, 4 million euros. It could be an excellent signing for Real Sociedad.
Celta Vigo 2, Espanyol 2. So Celta were 2-0 up. Aspas got a goal, remember him? Hasn't been away long, has he?
Yeah.
And then Paciencia, the Portuguese player who he got, only three goals last season for Eintracht Frankfurt in the Bundesliga, so he's off and running already. But then
he's a handful in this game.
Yeah, he's a big, good, strong fella, isn't he?
Scored a good goal, header at the far post, which then you think the game's done.
Yeah. In fact, they took him off at 2-0, didn't they? And then, let Espanyol back in.
Diego Martinez effect. Last year, Espanyol not coming back from that, are they?
Mm.
But we have a new manager. They show good spirit. Substitutions made. Exposito gets the first goal. He's one of the subs. And then Joselu with a penalty in the 98th minute.
Mm.
I'd written them off in that one. And they went 2-0 down. I didn't think there was any possibility of Espanyol getting back into the game. So fair play to them. So a new attitude under the new manager.
New manager, new attitude, question mark. Valencia 1, Girona 0. So Carlos Soler scores a penalty. We're not allowing soft penalties, apparently, but it looked pretty soft to me. So
I'm not even convinced that it hits his arm.
No,
it's kind of underneath the armpit and the chest and the ribs and a bit of the underneath the arm. But his
if
arm
it takes
out,
some flex. I've got a limited amount of sympathy because his arm does go up, like in a weird position. But then I think it hits him on the armpit, doesn't it? So I don't think it's... Yeah, I wouldn't have given a pen, but it's the Mestalla. Everyone screamed for it, didn't they? I think that's a factor. Kind of Soler scored it.
The circumstances are really strange, aren't they? Valencia win 1-0. They won their first game last season 1-0 with a player being sent off. And Soler gets a penalty in both those games.
Yes.
Last year, it was Getafe. They won 1-0. Soler scored a penalty. Player sent off. Hanging on for dear life at the end. Exactly the same circumstances this season. But swap ball the last for Gattuso. Gattuso picked up a yellow card for arguing. Really endeared himself to the crowd by doing that. In my opinion, I didn't see a lot of difference between this Valencia and last year's Valencia. I was slightly disappointed with Girona that they didn't take advantage of the uncertainty at Valencia.
Yeah.
You know, Gaia was missing. So you're looking at the starting 11, you're thinking there was not a lot there to frighten anyone. And Girona were a bit negative, a bit cautious under Ruby. So Valencia were able to get the win from, you know, Comerc got sent off after they scored. Then they dug in and Gattuso, plenty of pumping his fists on the side and shouting at his team and the crowd responded to that. It was a decent atmosphere in the Mestalla, so maybe there are better times ahead for Valencia this season.
Which leaves us with one game, isn't it? Athletic against Mallorca. So Valverde picked an attacking team, didn't he? It was. There's nothing, you know, wrong with the team that he picked, but couldn't score a goal, which has been obviously their problem in recent times.
Athletic. I felt for them in this game. I've been critical over the last season, but they had plenty of attempts. They come up against the goalkeeper, Predrag Rajkovic, who's an inspired form. I think he's a Serbian goalkeeper, picked up a 3 or 4 million euros, an international player. He was absolutely superb. They hit the post twice as well. I think on one of them, on Yuri Bacic's attempt, I think he gets a touch on it, tips it onto the post. They just lack that, not lack it, I don't want to be too cruel. They have anxiety issues, Athletic Club, because it's not just this game. It's last season and possibly the season before. They have anxiety issues when they get into goal-scoring positions. I don't mean just the finishing position, so like crossing it into the box. They can't keep throwing it into the box. They haven't got a big striker. So they have to take a bit more care on their final ball into the penalty area. They have no problem getting into the final third. And then when it comes to finishing, they're snatching at things or they don't choose the correct finish. They miss hit finishes where they're snatching at it and it gives the goalkeeper a chance to make a save. Mignone had one from 6 yards. If he gets a clean strike on it, the keeper can't save it, but he doesn't. So the anxiety issues are going to continue until they turn a corner. And, you know, Valverde, I didn't see an awful lot of difference between this team and last year's team under Marcelino, because the same problem is going to exist until they calm down, find a bit of confidence, and goal scoring doesn't become this massive issue, which is becoming, rapidly becoming.
Yeah.
The substitutions were all bright, but they're just snatching everything. And it was a frustrating. They deserved to win. They were by far the better team. Aguirre admitted that. Really honest. Love his approach, Aguirre. There's no bullshit with him, is there? He said, we were lucky. We hang on. Sometimes that happens in football. We got bodies back behind. It was exactly the game we expected. We got outplayed, but he was pleased with his team spirit. You need a bit of luck. You need your goalkeeper to play well. He didn't come on and say, no, I thought we did this and we had possession and blah, blah, blah. Mm. He told it as it was. And his team were lucky to get the point. But sometimes that happens. And you, as an away manager in that situation, a team that just about avoided relegation, that's a tough fixture. And they dug in, they got their point, but they should have been beaten. Athletic need to somehow find a way to shake off this anxiety they have. Whoever plays up front, whoever plays in the wide positions, Mignone played just off of Villalibre, Berenguer left, Iñaki Williams right, centre in midfield, more attacking looking, but this, unfortunately for Athletic Club, the same outcome.
Yeah. Right, that's enough. Let's have a quick look at the fixtures before we go away. Right, there we are. Courtesy of our friends at the BBC. Well, we haven't asked them, just taken it. There we are. So Friday, Espanyol against Rayo Vallecano, Sevilla against Valladolid. Saturday, so we're still going this sort of, a 2-3-3-2 formation. And then Saturday, Osasuna, Cadiz, Mallorca versus Betis and Celta versus Real Madrid Saturday night. Sunday night, it's Athletic against Valencia, Atletico Madrid against Villarreal. That's a good game, isn't it? Yes. Real Sociedad against Barcelona. And then Monday's Elche against Almeria and Girona against Getafe. We will be back with a podcast in the early part of next week. And we'll see you for that. Enjoy the game, your games this weekend. Good luck with the commentary on Sunday night, Terry. Yeah. And we'll see you all for another podcast soon.